fits right in with storytelling. It's three of the most famous parables that Jesus told. Scripture reading today, Luke 15, verses 1 to 31. Listen to the master storyteller. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then Jesus said, this is the absolute most famous parable of Jesus's. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in desolate living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. When he came to the end and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him?" Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." This is the word of God for today. Thanks be to God. Happy Father's Day. What? It's not? I know. When I started doing this, I was thinking, you know what? This is Father's Day, so I can talk, you know, it's Father's Day, Aboriginal Sunday, so, you know, I can talk about storytelling, I can talk about Aboriginal, I can talk about Native, and this is great, except for one thing. Father's Day's next week. So I thought, okay, well, you know what? I'm still going to do it, because it just spoke to me, so I'm going to talk about stories. And I was thinking about this too, and I'm thinking, how am I going to equate stories so it's relevant today? How am I going to equate the Bible stories so it's relevant today? So, life is a quilt. We all have, all of our life can be compared to a quilt. Everything that happens to us that we remember, good or bad, is like a quilt block. Each block stands on its own and becomes a part of the whole quilt known as life. You know, I've heard of families that have done this. They've actually, each family member has done a quilt block, and the first person has sent their quilt block to the second person, who has added their quilt block along with the story of the quilt block and sent it over to the next person, and it goes all the way around the family circle until it gets back to the original person. So there's this huge story that's built into a quilt that will be passed down from generation to generation. Now, I'm assuming, I haven't actually talked to the person, but I'm assuming that when the quilt comes back to the original person, she puts on the binding that binds it together, takes a picture of it, compiles all the stories, and then sends copies out to everybody so that everybody has the story of the family quilt. And I think that is an absolutely amazing way to keep a family story going, something that each person has taken a part of, a personal stake in. And I think that is really, really cool. So, but what we're going to do today is we're going to look at some of the quilt blocks that relate to us as followers of Jesus and believers of God. God's quilt is known as the greatest story ever told. It's still the highest selling book in the world is the Bible. This is the beginning of our oral tradition. As with most religions, the only people who knew how to read and write were the scholars, the leaders, the teachers. So that what they would do is, people would go to church or synagogue, and the leaders would read from the Holy Scriptures. Now the people who were there would listen, and they would take it out to the people who couldn't go into the service or couldn't hear the service. They would take them out and they would tell the stories that the leaders had told them. Now, each person would hear that story from a different perspective. Each person would hear something in that story would speak a little differently to each person. The inherent truths in the story would be, everyone would know, because that was something that was hammered into them. Everyone knew what the message was. But how people got to that message were different, because each person sees things differently. The same thing with the quilt. Each quilt block for each person is different. My quilt is not at all the same as Keith's, or the same as Nancy's, or the same as Vi's, or the same as Sandy's, or the same as Cynthia's, or same as anybody's. Thank goodness, because that would be really boring. And I really suspect that the New Testament that we have today is an amalgamation of all of those oral stories that still have the essential truths in them. You know, you put them all together and you come out with the true story. And metaphorically speaking, it's true. And that's good. I have a bugbear, actually. I have a real problem with the story of Jonah and the whale. I really, really do. Like, was he actually swallowed by a whale, as stated in the narrative? I don't think so. Did he run and hide from God? Yes. He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. Did he run into a cave? I don't know. Did he retreat into himself? I don't know. Did he get swallowed by a whale? I don't know. Doesn't matter. What matters is that he ended up doing what it was that God had asked him to do. He really didn't want to do it, but he did end up wrestling with it and doing what he was asked to do. You know, we all have a tendency to hide from God. You know, especially when he asks us to do something that's way out of our comfort zone. Don't want to do that. I don't want to step out of where I feel comfortable. Sometimes it's not even on our radar. We hadn't even thought of, never even crossed our mind that something like that would happen. But how do we get to the block that God wants us to craft? Jonah wrestled with it. He came to his own decision. Doesn't always work that way. Sometimes God puts people into our lives to get us where we need to be. I wouldn't be standing here right now if it wasn't for Julia and Doug holding a leadership training, worship leading training course all those years ago. They asked me if I wanted to come, and I said, yeah, sure, why not? Could be interesting. I never expected that I would be standing up here in front of you, guy, in front of you, doing this. It totally goes against me. I'm a very, very shy person. This totally goes against my basic personality. But Julia and Doug encouraged me. They nurtured me. And they looked at me and they said, you know what? You can do it. Why don't you try? No, I don't think so. Okay, why don't you start with just, you know, do the call to worship. You know, it's responsive. It's written right there. Why don't you do that to start with? Yeah, okay, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, it's right there. I can do that. Okay, well, next time, well, why don't you do the call to worship and throw in the scripture? Oh, yeah, I can do that. That's up on the screen. Yeah, that's fine. I can do that, I think. Yeah, I can do that. It's up there. Okay. Okay, well, how about over the summer, you know, you're going to have 10 people in that room back there in the fireside room. Why don't you just kind of just do a little sermon? What? Huh? Well, yeah, well, you know, we need someone. And, you know, like I say, there's only going to be like 10 people because that's all that fits in that room. Well, why don't you do a sermon? Well, okay. So I wrote a sermon, and I wrote a sermon, and I wrote exactly what I was going to say. And I sat there. Out there in that room with 10 people, and I sat there like this, and I read exactly what it was I was going to say the first time. I thought, okay, that's not so bad. Nobody threw rotten tomatoes at me, so that's pretty good. And then the next summer, they said, okay, do it again. Okay, well, so I went out, and I had this sermon already laid out on my 6 sheets of paper, and I went to the sermon. It wasn't there. I have no idea where I'd left it. Had no clue where I left it. So I thought, okay, what am I going to do? I talked. To this day, I have no idea what I said. No idea. But it reached people. So I figured, okay, maybe I can do this. Maybe it's okay. But if I hadn't had the encouragement, one, of Doug and Julia, and the encouragement of the people who thanked me after I told them I had absolutely no sermon, they thanked me for speaking to them and that it spoke to them, I figured, you know what? I think it's okay. Different quilt block happened. It didn't negate my other quilt blocks. My shyness quilt block is still there. Like, I don't associate with people much. So, but it's changed. The quilt has expanded. And I'll bet you every one of you has someone that's helped you expand your quilt. The song Days of Elijah, like, that was a departure because literally we had not done that before. I've sung it at camp, but completely different. So, like, that again is another departure, and that is also a story. That is an Old Testament story that forecasts the coming of the Messiah. Out of Zion's hills, salvation comes. Our salvation. We are followers of that salvation. Jesus. Jesus the Christ, the master storyteller. Most of his teaching was done in parables. We heard three of the most famous ones today. Why do you suppose he used stories? Well, I can give you a few reasons. They're short. They're short, to the point, easy to remember, easy to pass along, and the message is extremely clear. In all three of those stories, the message, you have not been forsaken. I love you. I will accept you. No matter what you've done, God will accept you back into his arms. The sheep, look for it. The coin, look for it. The son, embrace. Every one of us has heard a modern-day version of the prodigal son. Even the people who don't go to church know the story of the prodigal son. They may not know it comes from the Bible, but we all know the story. We all know the truth. Whether it's the truth of our heavenly parent embracing us or the truth of a member of our family accepting us back, the inherent truth is there in the stories. And the neat thing, too, about the parables is that each gospel has a slightly different version of the same parable. It's got the same message, but the details are slightly different. Again, because they are written from a different perspective. And that's important to understand, that the perspective is not the important part. It's the message that is. We can all have our own perspective on it, as long as the message, the true message, is clear. The true message is what we learn. The details are how we dress it up, so that people remember it. And that's important, too. Like, people aren't going to listen to a story that's boring. I wouldn't. Like, my daughter tried to watch she was watching 50 Shades of Grey yesterday on TV. The first thing I did was turn around and leave. I'm sure as heck not going to watch that baloney. But not my issue. It's hers. We started telling stories as soon as we got into this earth. We are steeped in the oral tradition. They are the building blocks of knowledge that we pass along from generation to generation. Some of the best stories were written by the natives, the stewards of our earth. They have some wonderful stories. And I have one here. It's from the Seneca tribe out of County of Ontario. They were actually booted. The Iroquois were not happy with this particular branch of the Iroquois tribe. So they booted them out of New York and they came up to Canada, where they decided that they didn't want to get along with the Huron and the Algonquin, which isn't really surprising because nobody gets along anyways. But they have this beautiful story that came out. And it's called the Storytelling Stone, and it's how stories began. A long time ago, a young man called Crow lived in one of the villages of the Seneca people. His parents had died many years before, and he had no one to care for him or to cook and sew for him. He lived at the very edge of the village in a small lodge made from bark and branches. His hair was always a tangled mess, and his clothes were old and tattered casts off he had been given in trade. And, of course, the children were really mean to him, because they made fun of him, the way he looked, and he was an orphan, and he didn't fit in, and they just did not treat him well at all. But Crow was an excellent hunter. So he'd go out, and he'd bring back birds and animals, and he'd trade them for corn and food and clothes. But, you know, winter comes along, and you have to go further and further to get things. And he went way, way farther than he normally does, and he was tired, so he saw a stone and a rock that looked like a pillow, so he sat down and leaned against it. And he decided he was going to have a rest. Shall I tell you a story? What? What? What's that? Who's there? Come out and show yourself. But nothing. Okay, it must be my imagination. I don't know what's going on. And now I'm talking to myself like, this is weird. So he sat down and leaned against the stone again.
Shall I tell you a story?
What? That's enough. Come on. Show me who you are. What the heck is going on here? And again, it was silent. Okay. And then, okay, it's got to be around here. So he looks around and he says, okay, well, I was leaning right here. Okay, there's a stone. Oh, my goodness, there's a face there. There's a face in the stone. Well, who are you? I'm Grandfather Stone. I've been here since time began. Shall I tell you a story? What's a story? I have no idea what a story is. Stories tell us all the things that happened before this time. Give me a gift of your birds, and I'll tell you how the word came to be. Yeah, sure. Take the bird. I'm not going to eat him anyways. So, Crow sat down in front of the stone. The stone told all the stories of a time before this one, how Sky Woman fell to the earth, how Turtle Island was made, stone giants. When he finished one story, he told another and another and another, and on and on and on and on he went. Sun began to set. He said, okay, come back tomorrow and I'll tell you more. Crow went back to the village. But he couldn't tell anybody what he'd heard. It was one, the stone told him not to, and two, who'd believe him anyways? So, but he was so fascinated, he went back the next day, and he brought more birds. Okay, cool. Grandfather Stone, I brought you more birds. Please tell me more stories. So he told more stories and more stories and more stories, and this happened for a long, long, long time. One day he came to the clearing, placed his gift on the stone, and said, please tell me more stories. I have no more stories to tell. You've heard all that has happened before this time. Now you must pass on the knowledge you have learned from these stories. You will be the first storyteller. You must tell others what you have heard, and also add stories of what happens from now on. The people you tell will remember your stories. Some will remember better than others. Some will tell different versions when they pass them on. It doesn't matter. The truth and lessons from the stories will be remembered. Thank you, Grandfather Stone. I will make sure these are not forgotten. Well, when he went back to the village, he knew that it was time to move on because they didn't think anything of him, so there's no way they would listen to him. So he dusted off his moccasins, and off he went to the next village. He began to tell the stories. He told them of the time when animals could speak and when the turtle raced the bear. The night the lodge seemed warmer and the sound of the first storyteller's voice could be heard among the howling wind outside. People went to sleep dreaming of the stories they'd heard. The chief of the village thought this is pretty cool. Send other people out. Bring other people from the other villages to listen to this, because this is really cool. This is exciting. And they came. And a young woman came. Listened to the stories. Sewed his clothes. Married him. Pretty cool. Then they went back to the first village. Well, the first village didn't know who the heck they were because he was dressed all in all his finery and all his feathers, and he was telling these stories, and they listened to him. And they never forgot the legends. They never forgot the stories. And that's how it's been to this day. The stories from Grandfather Stone, the stories from the Bible, have been handed down from generation to generation, and storytellers are still honored today by those who will listen. The stories. Look at your life's quilt. Each piece is the story that forms the current whole. The whole is always changing as we live and grow. Where do the Jesus and God blocks fit? Are they on the outside edge, barely touching any others? Or are they closer to the center, where they touch more aspects of your life? Is your quilt too comfortable? Or are you ready to readjust to stretch your faith a little bit more? Maybe it's time to remake your life's quilt. Amen. We have two prayer stations here, one on either side, and if you'd like to take